He's here. He was here on Sunday. How many were here Sunday? Okay, he saw him on Sunday. Okay, and but he fell back, hit his neck, hit his back, hit his hip. So and his collarbone really hurts. So we're praying that he doesn't have any broken bones. So let's pray for him. Okay, number 29. Let's all stand together. 29. We'll start with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing number 29. Brother John, would you lead us in prayer? And pray for Roy, please.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight to thank you and praise you for the assembly here at Northfield Baptist Church, Lord. We ask you to be with those who are still on their way, Lord. Keep them safe when they're traveling. Father, we ask that you also be with you take of Roy Gibson at this time with the injuries he sustained today, Lord. We pray that it won't be too bad that your spirit will guide and direct him and his family. He'll give them that peace of mind, Lord. Give the doctors the wisdom, the knowledge, and all to do best course of treatment for him. We pray that he'll be back amongst our midst again very soon, Lord. Father, we ask that you be with the service tonight, Lord, that the Spirit will guide and direct us and open up our hearts and our minds to what your word has to say for us tonight, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Number 29. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? I have seen in God's word, it's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God in me. Who wants to share a blessing? Why Jesus is so wonderful to you? Who would like to share tonight? Yes, blessing.
He blessed me with my teeth.
Amen. That's wonderful. Yes, Elsie.
He made us.
Amen. Why Jesus is so wonderful to you? Good. He made us. Great answer. Anyone else? Why is Jesus so wonderful to you? Yes, Sarah?
He made me.
All right, good. Did he do anything else for you besides making you?
He gave me my good looks.
Okay, all right. Did he do anything else for you besides making you?
He gave me wonderful parents.
Very good, okay. And what did he do for your soul? Maya? Good. He died on the cross to do what for your soul? Cleanse you of all your sin. Amen. You're saved now. Amen. All right, let's sing that next verse. Heaven is a wonderful place. 29. Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior then. Heaven is a wonderful, heaven is a glorious, heaven is a wonderful place. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until then, my eyes see. prayed, so you may be seated. Just by way of announcements, we want to mention, does anyone need a bulletin? We'll have our ushers and junior ushers get some bulletins out. We had a great time on Sunday. We had our church's 25th church anniversary, and the church was filled, and a lot of great blessings from good testimonies and all kinds of things we shared together. So we praise the Lord for what happened on Sunday. And if you'd like a video of that, I think we can possibly get, or a CD, see John, and we can work on getting those out. Also, one of the ladies at Meadowview, she's in a motorized wheelchair. She was trying as hard as she could to get out to the service on Sunday. So she writes, "Pastor Rice, congratulations on Northfield Baptist Church's 25th anniversary. I wish I could have been there. Love, Donna Taylor." And so she gave a little offering there for the offering tonight. And so a very nice well wish from her. All right. Any other announcements to mention? This Saturday is our ladies' Bible study at 4 o'clock at Maria Price's house, and that's the information's in the bulletin. So if it's right on Central Avenue here in Linwood. It's apartment C4 as you go into Linwood Village, the Village, it's called the Village at Linwood, or the Village at Central Square, or Village at Central Avenue. So if you need if you need directions, call one of those two numbers on there. And then pray for my wife and I. Will be going up to Pennsylvania on Saturday to Matthias's sister's bridal shower. So we'll be there representing the church for Matthias and his family and their church there in Coopersburg, Pennsylvania, Community Baptist Church. So that's where we'll be on Saturday. So pray for us, and we'll pray for y'all back here. All right, any other announcements that need to be mentioned? Any other announcements? Okay, it's good to have Joel back with us. Welcome back, Joel. And then it's also good to have Keith back with us. Welcome back, Keith. All right, I'm glad that they're here tonight. And then Serenity's back. Welcome back, Serenity. Good to have you with us tonight. Okay. All right. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this evening of our tithes and offerings to God. We have some patches that you can earn tonight for those in Master Clubs. You can earn patches tonight. We'll tell you how to do that. This time, let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Father, and this day, thank you for this offering you're about to receive. Lord Jesus, name and pray, amen.
Amen. Do we have any prayer requests or praises besides the ones already mentioned? We'll pass out these ahead of time. Due to Mrs. Gibson being in the hospital with her husband and due to Mrs. Slepidus being sick tonight, we're going to all be together tonight. So we're going to pass out some notes for everyone to take notes. Okay, pass those out for everyone. Yeah, Jose, you want to pass some out too? Okay, here you go. Pass out some notes to everyone. Give everyone a piece of paper and a pen. Paul, can you pass out a pen? Now, we do want to collect these pens again tonight, so don't take the pen home. They are church pens, God's pens, so don't take the pens home. All right, so here's the... If you take good notes on the message tonight, you can potentially earn... one of these great badges to put on your poster. There's a nice light. If you take good notes, you'll be one of God's lighthouses. Okay, so put on your Master Clothes banner to help represent your good notes taking. All right, now our Sunday school Master Clubbers, when I call your name, come on up and receive for faithful Sunday school attendance, you're going to receive a Sunday school patch to put on your Master Club's banner. This is for faithful attendance at Sunday school. Okay, I'm going to ask Elizabeth Rice, come on up. Elizabeth Rice, good job. You get a patch. Now go give this to Miss Dominique. She will put it on your vest. Okay, next for faithful Sunday school attendance, Zamora. Come on up, Zamora. Excellent job. Give it to your auntie. Don't take it home because we'll lose it. All right, Lydia Rice, come on up. Great. Faithful Sunday school attendant. Messiah Mercado, great job. Give it to Miss Dominique. Lydia, give it to Miss Dominique so she can put it on your banner. Okay, Blessing Fuqua, come on up. Faithful Sunday school attendant. Great job. Azaria Brown, come on up. Faithful Sunday school attendant. Holly Rice, faithful Sunday school attendant. Come on up. And Zion Mercado, come on up. Faithful Sunday school attendant. And Layla, come on up. Layla, did I miss anybody? Okay, come a few more times, Darielle, and you can have the patch too, okay? You're getting there. You're getting toward earning that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, give your patch to, Holly, don't take your lighthouse patch. Give it to Miss Dominique so she can put it on your banner, okay? Not for you to take home, it's to put on your banner. Okay, so everyone give her your patch. Okay, so you can earn another patch tonight for taking good notes, the lighthouse patch as well. All right, let's take some prayer requests. Who has a prayer request for us tonight? Yes, Layla.
That I recover from minor sickness. I had a fever for the past couple of days.
Okay. Amen. Okay, who else? Yes, Sahara?
I want you to pray for the kids in my school. They are very cool to our teacher, and some will not do this.
Okay, let's pray for the behavior of the students in the school. What school is it?
It's Principal Academy Charter School or something.
Okay.
Principal Academy Charter.
Oh,
okay.
All right,
who else? Darnell. Okay.
There's this guy. I've never seen him there before, and he was like causing problems with everybody. And then he came over to me and was asking to borrow my phone. And I told him I would, but the microphone doesn't work on it, so he can't call. And then he got mad and started kicking stuff around. And then he walked back in, and then he started cursing at me. And then I was just sitting there on my phone, and then he said if I look at him again or something, he's going to, like, punch me in the face or something like that. And then I called my dad, and my dad came and I sat in his truck. And then I got on the bus, and then I left.
Crazy. Was this guy going to the school?
No, he was going to work. And he was arguing. He was, arguing with everybody. Like,
why did the bus driver even pick him up? So he doesn't go to school, and he was on the school bus. All right, so let's pray for, praise the Lord, that Darnell made it through that. That's a scary situation. And, so praise the Lord, your dad was able to come. He was off today? Your dad was off today?
No, he just, he was about to go, but then he turned around.
Good, all right, wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. All right, God protects us. Pray for Roy that God would mend whatever is injured in him, and pray for no broken bones. All right, anyone else? Any other prayer requests or answers to prayer? We also want to take answers to prayer. Esther, how did MetaView go?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty well today. We had quite a crowd, a few people who came in late, but you know, they were there.
Amen. Amen. All right, we learned about prayer at MetaView and everything. Everyone wanted to recommit their lives to prayer. It was a good service. All right, so anyone else? How's Kenny's heart doctor appointment and all that stuff going?
Well, we're still working on all that, but he's doing okay right now. And
good.
The results are okay, but there's just some things he's going to have to watch.
Okay. Okay, so that's good, though. Good results. That's a blessing. So let's pray for Kenny. Anyone else? Any other prayer requests to mention? Okay, ladies' Bible study Saturday at 4, and also pray for my wife and I and family as we go to Pennsylvania on Saturday to Felicity, that's Matthias's sister's bridal shower. Yes, Dario? For what? Your mom, yes. When's your mom due? Next month, right? She's due in March. Nelsie? What's her last name? Martina. Nelsie Martinez, that's Dario's mom, is due with a baby boy next month. So we're praying for that little baby boy. And pray for safe and healthy delivery for her. And we are collecting. Carrie, did you want to mention? No? Okay. All right. Anything else? Anything else to mention? All right. Okay. At this time, we will go to our scripture time. And just remember, you can earn a badge tonight, so I'll keep the badges there right in front of you. Okay. How many learned how to do speed stacking tonight? Okay, good. How many of that was the first time you ever speed stacked? First time, okay. Joel's first time, and all right. So we learned some new things tonight. All right, turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, try to find one. They're in the pews behind you. Okay, there's red pew Bibles and there's black pew Bibles. So find one of these. Does anyone need one? Okay, who needs one? Okay, throw in these. Okay, find a red or black pew Bible. Okay, Mark chapter 10, it's in the New Testament. It's in the New Testament, Mark chapter 10, where we finished Mark 9 last week about if thine hand and thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it's better to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye and one hand than having two to be cast into hellfire. That basically Jesus was saying that whatever sin is keeping you from trusting Him as Savior, what should we do with that sin? Should we hang on to it for the rest of our lives until we die and go to hell? Or should we let go of that sin and trust Jesus as our Savior and find eternal life in Him? What do you think, Messiah? Mark 10, verse 1. What do you think? We should let go of the sin, right? Yes, absolutely. A lot of sins were mentioned last week that people won't let go of, whether it be gambling, whether it be alcohol, whether it be, you know, drugs, and people are so addicted to these things, they say, oh, I don't know what to do with myself if I ever let it go. And they have to realize, well, wait, hang on to that sin and keep living your life until somebody shoots you or you die of an overdose or you die of a drunk driving alcohol accident or whatever else, and have all bad things happen to you, or a disease that you get from being bad, it's much better to trust Christ as Savior. Okay, Mark chapter 10 and verse 1. Let us bow together in prayer. Okay, I need no talking. If I see anyone talking, I'm going to separate you, and that will be a little embarrassing, so you don't want that. Okay, so everyone be on their good behavior tonight so you can possibly earn a prize. Yes? Mark 10. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you're right near Mark 10. Yeah, help her out. Help those who know their Bibles, you can help those who are a little newer. Mark 10:1. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight to look into your Word. We thank you for the blessing it is to us, how you encourage us in our Christian walk with you. And I pray if there's anyone here tonight that doesn't yet know Christ as Savior, that they would be saved tonight. I pray for each Christian here that you would help us to grow in you as a result of being in your house tonight. We pray you'd meet our needs, whatever they are, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And I pray that you would just show us your Son, Jesus, and let him be glorified and honored and praised tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Shh, no talking. Mark 10, verse 1, "And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. And the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again." Okay, I have in my bag, I need two volunteers. I need a young man and a young lady. Okay, preferably a teenager. So I need a young man, teenager. Darnell, good, come on up. And a young lady, all right, Serenity, come on up. All right, now, you get a organic, fresh from the store apple, okay? Now, what I want you to do is, you got to take your, that's okay, it was not put in the best spot there, that was not your fault. Here you go, we'll get it. Okay, had a soft landing. Okay, now I want you to take your nicest and best bite out of that apple. It's a very good apple. It's fresh from the store. No chemicals are on it. Nothing. It's a really, really good apple. Good, good. Look at that bite. That's a great bite. Excellent, excellent. Okay, now I want you to put your apple right here on the table. Serenity right there. Okay. All right, great. Excellent job. All right. How was it, Darnell? Good. Crispy. Was it crispy? Mm-hmm. Fresh. Delectable. Okay. How many like soft apples? How many like crispy, juicy? That's what I like. Crispy. I could tell it was crispy, juicy. Okay. Now, I need two more volunteers. Come on up. Okay. Let's do Savan. And Joel, come on up. Savan and Joel, come on up. Two more volunteers, all right? Joel, sorry. Sorry, Joel. Okay. All right, now, you guys have gotten the prize, okay? I'm going to have Savan, you get this apple. And you get this apple. Now, it's yours to eat and just have a good time with. Eat it.
Eat it.
No, I'm just kidding. Why were they so reticent to take and eat this apple?
Because they were lazy.
He told them to.
Because it's an apple.
Because why?
It's an apple and apples are good.
Okay, but why did they not want to eat the apple? Because somebody else has been. You say, that's gross. No, and I don't want you guys sharing, you know. It was your sister, so. But still, nonetheless. Okay, you can have a seat. Okay, for being good sports, here you go. You guys get this. Here you go, Joelle. For being good sports. There you go. Triple layer chocolate there. Okay, so here is our test demonstration. This is going to go along with what we're talking about tonight, okay? Read verse 2 for us, Mark 10 and verse 2. Go ahead and read that together in unison. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him?" And he answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Everyone, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." Verse 5, Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept." Okay, everyone pay attention. Dario, look up here. Verse 6, everyone. "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." We're reading responsive reading. I'm reading every other verse, and then you're reading every other verse. Verse 7, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." Verse 8, "Twain shall be one flesh." "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And he saith unto them, "Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. The woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." Okay, so here we have Jesus teaching on this next important part of life, which is marriage. And some very important points here. Number one, verse 1, "as he was wont," that means as he was wont to do, he taught them again. Jesus lived his life for us. Do you realize that? Jesus. Darielle, if you are going to distract others, you need to sit somewhere else, okay? So sit on the end of the row in front of Mr. Pat, please. Move, Dario, move to the end. Okay. Okay, so remember, Dario, take good notes so you can possibly earn that badge, okay? Don't worry about what your neighbor's doing. Okay, Jesus loved to teach us. He loved, that was what he was wont to do. He wanted to teach people. He wanted to shepherd people. He wanted to shepherd us. Why? He's the only one who knew them so intimately. He made them. Jesus created each and every one of them as he saw them all following him from the coast into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. They resorted unto him again. They came again. Why? Because they wanted to hear him teach. So if Jesus were here today, that's exactly what we'd want to do. We'd all gather and we'd want to hear him teach us. Okay, so we need to love his teachings. We need to love to hear Christ speak from the Word of God. One of the things he shared here is the Pharisees. They wanted to, they broke up his teaching time and they said, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Tempting him. So they wanted him to say something wrong. They wanted to try to catch him in a trap. Why did the Pharisees want to try to catch Jesus in a trap? What'd they want him to do with his mouth? Lydia?
They wanted to prove that he wasn't the Messiah and insulting him so they can get rid of him.
Yeah, they wanted to prove he wasn't the Messiah and that he wasn't perfect. They wanted him to say just one little thing wrong and then they could do away with him. So they tried to trick him. "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" And he answered, Jesus always referred them back to what the Bible says. He said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." Now here's what they did not mention. When it talks about that in Deuteronomy 21, 1-4, we see that the men in Moses' day, they wanted to just, you know, when they got angry with their wife, they wanted to just get rid of her. And so just a verbal thing, "Oh, I don't want you, you can leave my tent, and I'm going to go away." Well, no. Moses said you have to write a bill of divorce. You have to actually think about it. You have to hire a lawyer. You've got to do all the legal ramifications. Why? So it would make them stop and think that this is not just a light matter. And number one, it's not a light matter. Number two, Jesus says, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Okay? But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Okay? What does the world try to tell you, young people, about how you're born? That you were born different. Okay? What do you mean different? What's that? What is the world try to tell you? Maybe in school or maybe wherever else. Okay, Layla?
You're unique. You're no one else.
Okay, that's good. Okay, nothing wrong with that. You're unique. That's a biblical concept. We're unique. Okay, Sahara?
They try and push that you have to accept everybody in the whole entire world.
Okay, they have to push you have to accept everybody in the whole entire world. Now, not just accept everybody, but approve of them. Approve of their behavior and say nothing to the contrary. Okay? There's a lot wrong with that. Okay? When someone is hurting themselves, should we just not say anything?
No.
If someone is doing self-harm to their body, you say, oh, well, I just won't say anything about it and hope it goes away. No, you tell the teacher, right? Or you tell the authorities, you say, hey, so-and-so is hurting themselves. Okay? Well, that's the same thing when someone is hurting their soul. How do people hurt their own souls today and hurt their spiritual part of themselves? Messiah?
By not getting saved.
Not getting saved, yes. That's the number one thing. How else? Armani?
They say that they like staying in lust.
Okay, they like staying in lust, okay? They fool around with their girlfriends or boyfriends. They do all kinds of things. Here we have an example. Which one of these, and I have a perfectly clean, brand new, good apple here, which would you want? This one or my brand new apple right underneath here? Which one do you want?
Brand new.
You want this one, right, Samara?
No.
Here, take a bite.
No.
No? Why do you not want this one? But you know what? This is how, if you hang around and fool around with someone, and then you break up with them, but you did not keep your hands off, guess what you are? What have you become?
A sinner.
What's that?
A sinner and an apple.
A sinner and an apple. No, you didn't become an apple. You became a used apple. You became a used... that now you are not pure and whole as you once were. When the bride wears white when she comes down the aisle, what does that white mean? Does anybody know? The girls, Serenity?
That she's clean.
She's clean. What do you mean clean?
But also when
she marries
a man.
Okay, clean from all pure impure sins, right? She has saved herself for that man and that man only. Right? That's what white means. But you know what? If you give away your purity to someone before marriage, you have become a used commodity. You have just sold your purity for lust. And this is what Jesus is talking about here. He says, for this cause, verse 7, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That God has a special someone for you as he tarries. He wants you to meet someone very special. He's got that special someone for you, but you have to wait for that person, okay? Now, let's say we could fast forward time, and let's fast forward 20 years, okay? Into the future, it would be 2039. I'd be old, you know, and we'd all be older, and we could meet some of your husband or wife, and you could meet them and say, oh, I'm so glad I married you, and oh, you're such a wonderful person. You're my best friend, besides Jesus, of course, and I just love you. How many of you would like to meet that person? But how many of you, knowing that person is there for you, want to give it away, give away your purity to someone else ahead of time? Do you want to steal that from your best friend to be? Do you want to steal what is your treasure, your perfect gift to give to that married person? Do you want to steal that and give it to someone else? Give it to somebody who doesn't really didn't care about you anyway, who just fell in lust with you, not in love, but in lust. He lusted after your body, ladies. Or men, you lusted after her body, and you fell in lust with her, and you said, oh, I think she's the one, yeah, but we'll just have a relationship first. And you put your grubby mitts all over her. And you took away her purity. And you took away her beauty and her innocency. How would you feel? How would you feel as you have to stand and answer to that man one day and say, yeah, well, you would never want to meet him, right? You'd never want to meet him. No. And same thing, ladies, you'd never want to meet the future wife of the young man that someday you're going to, the future wife of the young man that you might fool around with. And so here Jesus says, don't fool around at all. He says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. God made them male and female. Don't listen to what some weirdo on the news might say. You're not male or female. You might be the other. Or you might be 52 binary, you know, things. And you might be some weird, you know, some weird expression of yourself. Don't listen to them. Have you ever heard that? Has anybody ever tried to tell you that yet? Okay. Don't listen to them, even if they do. Okay. What's that?
How about transgender people? What are they referred to?
Okay. Well, what does the Bible say in verse 6? Read Mark 10 and verse 6 for us. What did Jesus, who created us, what did he say about us? Do you have it, Serenity? Mark 10, verse 6. Go ahead.
I lost the page.
You lost the page? Okay, Sahara, help her find the page. Or Savan, can you give her your Bible? And just switch Bibles with Savan. Savan will find Mark 10, and verse 6 for you. Okay, there it is. Okay, read 10, verse 6 for us. Serenity?
Beginning?
Okay, so God made who male and female?
Us.
Every single one of us. Okay, so what is our gender?
Male and female.
Male and female, okay? You're either a male or a female. Does God say anything else? No. Layla? Okay, kind of goes against all their own philosophy, right? There's more than two genders. Oh, wait, we can only order male and female. There is no more than male and female. And whatever you were biologically born with, guess what? That's who you are. So when you went home the day from the hospital, or when you came into the world, the doctor told the nurse, it's a girl! It's a boy! And that was it. Why? Because God made us male and female. Okay? Verse 8. And the twain shall be one flesh, so that they are no more twain or two, but one flesh. The beautiful thing is when a Christian man and a Christian lady get married, they become one flesh. And an unsaved man and an unsaved lady, the same thing, one flesh. But you don't want to marry an unsaved person, number one. But you want to marry someone who's saved and loves the Lord. But that's way out in your future. Okay, young people, that's out in your future. Take your time. Those adults that are here, they know where they are and where they stand. And so, verse 9, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So here God is telling us, Jesus is telling us, He's going to join you together one day. If it's His will, He's going to join you together one day with that godly spouse. Okay, So are you going to give it away to someone else ahead of time and feel second rate? Or are you going to save it, save your purity for that special someone? Now for the adults that are here, that, you know, well, I made a mistake, Pastor Rice, and this and that. Well, God's in the business of forgiving and forgetting, and He's in the business of restoring. So don't let a past sin haunt you in the present. That God doesn't want that to keep you back from anything. You know, it may disqualify you from being a pastor or a deacon, but it will not disqualify you from being a child of God who serves the Lord faithfully in this church. So don't ever let any past sins haunt anyone from keeping them from service to God. God takes us where we are now, and He says, "You are my child, and I love you, and you are accepted in my sight." And so, but young people, don't sell out and become. My wife put it another way. Okay, let's say you had a choice. Okay. Young ladies, let's say you had a choice. You could buy the really nice dress that's very modest, beautiful, princess-like, the blue gown at the brand new retail store that has a really nice, beautiful condition in pristine condition. Or you can go to Goodwill and you can get one. It's been worn a few times, may have some stains. May have some, it's a tear here or there, but you can still wear that dress. Which dress would you prefer, ladies?
I would take the second one if it was pink. I don't do blue.
Okay, so you take. Which would be your first choice?
No,
wait. Let's say you were given $1,000 to shop with. And you had to either spend the money or lose the money, okay? Couldn't use it for anything else but a dress.
I would go to Goodwill.
You'd use the $1,000 to buy the $19.99 dress at Goodwill?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I'd. I don't think I'd buy that one.
Money go.
What?
Nope.
No, the money goes. So if you don't use it,
I think I'm
money goes.
To go buy
gentlemen, what is the same question for you? Buy the suit, the tuxedo, $1,000 tuxedo at the brand new tuxedo place, or go to Goodwill, get one with some tears and a little bit of stains. You know, it's got some problems, but it's $19.99 on sale. But you have $1,000. Which would you buy? $1,000. Good. All right. I'm glad Darnell has some sense to him. Great. All right. Okay, so... of course, we'd want that new one. Well, that's the same thing. Your purity is given to you as a special gift from God. Don't give it away to anyone. You say, well, what about touching? What about touching? Does it matter if anyone touches me or I touch someone else? We don't go and defraud ourselves. No, that is actually touching is defrauding. By its very nature, in the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Turn over there. What does the Bible say about touching? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's over a few books from Mark. Let's say the books of the New Testament together. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, okay? 1 and 2 Corinthians, right next to Acts, Romans, and the Gospels. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. We'll do the same thing. We'll read responsively. You read the first verse. And I'll read the second, and so on, through verse 5. 1 Corinthians 7, 1-5, you go ahead and read the first verse. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband rent... the wife, do benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not the one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Okay, so here we see, verse 1 says, Paul said, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, okay, they were asking him a lot of questions on marriage and singleness and how they should conduct themselves as Christian men and ladies, and young men and ladies. Paul said, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay, so what does that mean? That means until you enter down that wedding aisle, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Why is that? What happens when someone starts touching someone of the opposite gender? Yes? Okay, you lose your innocence step by step. Okay, that's good. Good point. What else happens? Adults help them out. What's that? Good. Why is it disrespectful, Mrs. Hodge? It's this. Okay. Yes, that's right. You know, if you walked into this church, and you know, that you expect you have your own private space, right? It's like an unwritten barrier. You know, don't enter past 6 inches, you know, from me, because this is my space, right? What happens if we violate that space? Hey, Paul, how are you doing today? Hey, Paul. Number one, Paul says, okay, what'd you have for dinner tonight? Number one, you know. And number two, too close. It's my personal... Why? God made us to be able to defend our personal space, okay? But number two, it's disrespectful for someone else to engage your personal space. And number three, it is a sin against God. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So in other words, the only way that you can touch someone of the opposite gender is if they are your wife or your husband. That's how God made it. Anything other than that is defrauding to them. You are literally encroaching on their body that God gave them for their use, and you are now encroaching on their body. Yes?
So, like, you're not, like, I have friends that are boys, but, like, just my friends. Not allowed to give them a hug.
Okay. This is something that God tells us the rules, and so we are to follow the rules, okay? It's good to, I'm not saying, you know, every hug is not innocent and this isn't that. But I will tell you that you may think of it as a friendly thing and it's no big deal. But what if they don't think of it as a friendly thing? So you don't know what's going on in the mind of the boy, the young man, okay? And the young men don't always know what's going on in the mind of the young lady. You know, they say, oh, she's just a friend, blah, 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 blah. Well, you don't know that, okay? The best rule of thumb is to just, hey, give a handshake or, you know, wave. Take care, bye. That way you're not becoming too familiar with the opposite gender as well. Mr. Hodge, go ahead.
Yes, St. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19.
Is everyone there? 1 Corinthians 6:19, right? Same chapter. Okay, go ahead.
It is said, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which is the which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I think this passage has explained very clearly that each believer, our body belongs to God. And the Holy Spirit lives within our bodies, and our bodies should be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So do not give someone else access to your body that's God's temple. That our body is, one day, who's going to have to give an account for how we used our body? And who touched our body? And who didn't touch our body? Who's going to have to give an account for that?
Us.
Each person, right? Savannah's going to have to give an account for her body. Layla's going to have to give an account for her body. Paul's going to have to give an account for his body. And Joel's going to have to give an account for his body. And all the adults here. And so... Is that something we take lightly, standing before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ? You know, one day, you know, Jesus, if you're saved, Jesus who died on the cross for us, and you know, we're going to just bow the knee and say, the Lord is King, and Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and we're going to bow before Him. Are we going to take it lightly? Standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and have to give an account for how we used our body, what we put into our body. How many are a little afraid of that? My hand is up. Okay. How many are a little afraid of standing before Jesus and having to give account for every single thing we put into our mouth, every single thing we put into our ears, every single thing we saw with our eyes, we looked at, not just an accidental glance, but a purposeful glance. Every little thing that we touched and we went and we used our feet for. I'm not scared of standing before Jesus. I have a clean conscience in every single thing I've ever done with my body. Anyone say that? What's that, Savan?
But wouldn't he know?
What's that?
What?
No, but the whole attitude of standing before Jesus and having to give an account, he's going to give us a grade up in heaven. He's going to either say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When our house, it says in 1 Corinthians 3, same book, he's going to take a match and burn up our house, the house of our life, with fire. And everything we build in our house of our life is either wood, hay, and stubble, which all burns and goes to ashes and nothing, or it's gold, silver, and precious stones. Yes, Jesus is going to know exactly how we handled our body. When he sets the match to our house, boom, what's left behind? Gold, silver, precious stones. He will reward us for. But think of all the wood, hay, and stubble. And having to answer to Jesus for things we did with our body which we shouldn't have. Would that not make you cringe a little bit? I don't think there's anyone here that's honest that could say, no, I'm not, I am afraid of that.
But you know how, like, on New Year's, adults can, like, get a little crazy? So, like, when they die, when they go to heaven, it's like, you know, they have drink sometimes, and they hurt sometimes, or do they just go to not heaven? Even, no, but if they're saved, then they do that. So, like, what happens if you're saved at, like, every year?
Okay, so, all right, what gets us into heaven? Jesus said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, the same man should boast. What gets us into heaven is our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and his sacrifice for us. That's what gets us into heaven. But is that all we're going to live for? Just getting into heaven? A lot of Christians are totally forgetting about that second part that I just mentioned. What's the judgment for the Christian? The judgment for the Christian is called the judgment seat of Christ. As 1 Corinthians 3, let's go over there since we're in 1 Corinthians. Go back two chapters, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 describes the judgment seat for us, where Jesus is on the throne, and we are going to have to stand before him as a Christian. Verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So no one's going to this judgment unless Jesus is their Savior. You read verse 12 for us. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Verse 14, "If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Verse 16, read it together. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." So here we see, once again, judgment seat of Christ, and God is reminding us that our body is whose temple? His temple. It's God's temple. So the point is what is safe to give away to someone of the opposite gender? Really nothing. There is nothing safe to give away. The point is let's keep ourselves pure by staying far away from touching the person of the opposite gender as possible, and you will be glad you did. And then when that friendship breaks up, or when that, you know, will you have any hard feelings toward that person if you never touched them the whole time you were special friends? No, you won't have any hard feelings. They won't have any hard feelings to you. And you can honestly say, "I maintain myself in honor before God." Whereas if you give a hand holding away, and then a hug away, and then another touch, what's happening is slowly the devil is laughing, and he's taking your purity away one touch at a time, until one day you make the foolish decision to give it all away. And you know what? That's exactly what the devil's trying to do. He wants you to gradually give over yourself to someone who's not your spouse. And you know what? It's going to forever haunt you when you get married and you raise a family. It's going to forever haunt you what you did. And it's something you don't want to take lightly and don't want to give away to anyone. Let's go back in closing to something happy. This is a happy doctrine because of what God wants to use it for. Mark chapter 10, let's go back to Mark 10, no one talking, if anyone's talking, you're disobeying. Mark 10, verse 13, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought him. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." So here Jesus speaks very strongly on guarding the purity of the husband and wife until the moment they get married. And then guarding their purity in marriage. Why? Why does Jesus place so much emphasis upon the husband and wife staying together for their whole life? What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. What comes as a result of marriage? What's the blessing of being married? Children, okay? Children, Jesus wants many happy, safe homes for families to raise their children in. He wants many happy husbands and wives that are loving each other and raising children and then teaching their children about Jesus. See, the children depend on the parents to lead them to Jesus. The children depend on the parents. And so that's why it's so crucial that we follow God's directions. You know, if you're living a life of sin, and then one day you finally have a child, and you know, how likely are you to introduce them to Jesus if you're so far away from God and you're not living for God, right? So the breakdown of the family affects the children and whether they will be introduced to God, whether they will be brought to church, whether they will be led to Jesus and taught the right way in the Bible. And so it's so important that the homes are on solid ground. And once again, even if you as an adult, you say, well, I've messed up. Well, guess what? God gives grace in the mess ups. God gives grace and He can restore things. And He can bring about good and wonderful things and beautiful things out of the ashes. So trust God and give your children and your grandchildren to God and watch Him work and bring them to church. Bring them to God. Bring them. Send them. Bring them and then help someone else's family who maybe those parents aren't yet understand the importance of bringing the children to church. We'll help bring them too. You know, and we can teach them about Jesus so that they can be saved. So how many of you young people, you've received Christ as a little child? You were 4 or 5 or 6 years old when you got saved. How many were like that? Okay, Keith was saved as a 4, 5, 6 year old. I was saved as a 5 year old. Zaria, how old were you? 4, 5, or 6? Okay, good. Lydia, 4, 5, 4. I think Paul was saved at 4 3/4. Holly, 4 1/2. Okay. Elizabeth just saved 4 years old and something. Okay, so it's important that we teach the young children about Jesus because they can come to Him at a young age. And that's where most people get saved under the age of 12. Do you realize that out of all the Christians in the world today, about 70% get saved by age 12. 70%. So we've got to reach them while they're young before the devil tries to harden them and make their conscience callous to Christ and His gospel. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We close the service tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As you're here tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. No one talking. You'd say, Pastor Rice, you know, I want to commit before God tonight to not be the used and desecrated product, but I want to be the pure and clean child of God and holy temple that God wants me to be when I get married one day. And by God's grace, with His help, I want to remain pure until my wedding day. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there. Receive. Amen. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. May God help you to keep this vow. Make it as a vow to God tonight. And do not defer to pay it. Once we make a vow to God, we keep that vow. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. As a Christian tonight, you say, Pastor, I'm so thankful that God is in the business of forgiveness and restoration. And I'm going to pray in a renewed effort tonight for those around me that perhaps are struggling, that they may find God's forgiveness and restoration. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. Say, Pastor, I'm burdened. I'm burdened for my family. I'm burdened for my friends. I'm burdened for my loved ones. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time tonight to be reminded of these truths of purity and how You regard us as Your children in sanctity and honor. Lord, help us to conduct our bodies in sanctity and honor, and that we would keep ourselves pure for You, and that there would not be a hint of worldliness on us and a hint of impurity. Lord, help our minds to stay clean. Help us not to put things into it that will defile it and make it dirty. Lord, keep us free from the filth of this world through the Word of God each day, reading it and praying and going to church for Your honor and glory and depending on Your Holy Spirit's power. In Jesus' name, amen. And just a quick side note, there is no toleration for any touching between girls and boys at all in the van, at this church. Okay, so if any of the adults see it, you will be immediately disciplined, okay, and appropriate steps will be taken. So please don't make us do that. We want to, we love you, and of course we will do it for your, because we love you, to discipline you so that you turn out right and learn quickly that that's not acceptable. So let us keep that in mind. All right, at this time we'll break up into our prayer groups.